Fire, fury, power. My name is Legend.
Welcome to Fuel Your Drive. Welcome to Fuel Your Drive. I'm your host, Josh York. And guys, I am extremely, extremely excited about our guest today. Let me tell you something, something about our guest today. So he lives in the same world I live in. You want to know what world that is? That's the franchise world, baby. So we love the franchise world. Let me tell you, our guest today grew up, difficult home life, raised in a low-end neighborhood, was filled with drugs, violence, alcohol, many visits from the police. And things really started changing for my man over here after college. His hard work, effort paid off, got drafted by the San Francisco Giants, follow his dream of playing Major League Baseball. After 3 years of playing baseball, he now runs an Inc. 500 company. He's an author. He has an amazing passion for helping people, which is something I love. And I'm super excited for this one. So, guys, warm welcome to my man, Devin Klein. Devin, welcome to the show, my friend.
Josh, dude, thank you. Your energy is off the chain. And like, if we could recreate 365 million Josh Yorks, this world would be a much more energetic, enthusiastic, lively pace. And, it's Friday here as we're talking, and we were just talking, you know, before we got on, he's like, hey, Fridays, that's the worst day of the week for me. Cause you know, most people on Saturday and Sunday are checking out when I'm ready to go. And so, no, I feel you, man. Thanks for that beautiful intro. And, you did your research and, you know, that's appreciated, coming on and being able to share the story with context is always important. So thanks, brother. Thanks for having me on. We're excited. Let's do this thing.
Absolutely. Well, first thing I'm going to get in right away is I'm the big man about mindset. I believe mindset is everything. And, you know, just the fact that you played in the major leagues, I already know you, so I know the deal. But, like, I want people to understand mindset applies to everything. Now, obviously, to be successful and play in the professional league, you have to have a hell of a mindset. So let's talk right away. Let's get right into it. Before we share your story, because we're going to do that in a second, but let's just talk about mindset, because I constantly talk about this on all of my shows, episodes, because it's so important, but people need to listen to it, because people hear but really don't listen and execute on it. So, like, talk to me. You know, rough life growing up, you know, how did you develop this mindset?
You know, it's funny you ask that, because I had to deal with a lot of things as a young kid that a lot of the people in the franchising industry now, who maybe had a more desirable upbringing, have to now deal with in their later in life as they are overcoming obstacles and trying to grow their business. And for me, home life was so hard that when you're that young, the only thing that you can do. is wonder, you know, is this how it's going to be forever, right? And you start to project out, you know, am I going to end up like my father? And am I going to end up like, you know, my uncles who, you know, were career roofers and they would, you know, just bring drugs on the job and drink on the job. And I was around this environment my whole life. Like you said, I grew up in, we'd call it in Battle Creek, Michigan, we'd call it the projects. And so it was two like housing communities, right across from a place called the Numbered Streets. Okay. And this is where I kind of grew up, and you develop that mindset because you go through things early on. And if I didn't have sports, then I would not have had a North Star to develop a mindset. I think that's very important, because a lot of people are like, you know, how do I develop the mindset? It's like everybody talks about it, but then you're like, how do you do it? Well, you need to have something out in front of you that, you know, a lot of people use the word North Star. I like that word. You have to have something out in front of you that's compelling, more compelling than, you know, maybe the drugs or the alcohol or the succumbing to the physical violence or things like that. It's like those things, yeah, they're painful, but so much more or less painful than not reaching that goal. And for me, it was baseball, like you mentioned. And like, you have to have a strong mindset, but like, first you have to have a great arm if you're a pitcher, and you got to have a lively arm, or you got to have really good stuff. And then you can layer a mindset over the top of that. Man, I became unstoppable in my pursuit, because I refused to be like my parents and my family. And it was just, like you said, visits from the cops every other weekend. My mom and dad would fist fight each other right in front of me. And I'm talking fist fight each other. I'm not talking like pushing around. I'm like slamming phones in each other's faces and throwing through walls. And, you know, as a 9, 10, 11 year old kid, you're witnessing this stuff. It's like, you kind of have to say, I'm in control. And if you don't, it's like all hell breaks loose, you know, and you start to go down a bad path, which a lot of my friends did who didn't have that North Star. So yeah, mindset is definitely a pinnacle. And I think mindset is specifically emotional fitness. It's like, that starts with honesty. It starts with speaking the truth. You know, you probably hear this all the time. People are like, everyone was saying that about everything. It's like, no, it was like one person like saying that like one time, you know? And so, you know, you got to begin with honesty, and honesty is the foundation, the axiom, if you will, for having a strong mindset. And for me, it was, hey, I honestly have a shot. And honestly, if I fuck it up, I'm honestly probably going to be like my dad. And I love my dad. My dad has a huge heart. The guy is so caring, but like, man, bro, you put that bottle to his lips and it's like different person instantly. And, you know, I can remember one time, and then we can move on, but I think it'll illustrate kind of a little bit of how I grew up and how I developed this mindset. It's like, I came home one night from a basketball game, and I was a good athlete, right? And I had the first time all season I scored under 20 points in a basketball game. My dad hung his hat on me scoring points, on me getting the results, which I love him for that, because like, it breeds results. So he did a lot of great things too. But I came home from a game where, I don't know if you know Tyson Chandler, that name, yes. Tyson Chandler, NBA. Yep. So I was playing his team and he was so much better than me. And so he just shut me down. And so I get home and my dad puts all of his worth through my athletic achievements. And so if I don't achieve, then it's like he goes and he'll drown himself under the bottle because he knows it's going to be in the papers the next day or whatever. And he was a great athlete too. So he's like, I want my son to live up to my expectations. Well, anyways, I had a terrible game. I come home, I pull in the driveway, and it's in Michigan, middle of winter, 2 foot of snow on the ground. And my dad meets me at my car and I have a purple Ford Probe with the frog eyed lens with only one that worked at the time. I bought it with my own money, working on the roof with my uncles. And he, bam, cracks the window with his elbow, bam, cracks it again, rips me out of the car. I'm a light kid, you know, I'm like 165 pounds or whatever, rips me in the backyard as he's sitting there drinking a fifth on the porch, making me shoot until I make 100 consecutive shots. It's like pretty impossible. And I don't. And so we get in a fist fight in the middle of the winter on this icy patch in this basketball hoop I have up at my house. And I'll never forget the day, man. I couldn't make 100 in a row. I couldn't do it. He's like, you're going to score now what you did not score in the game. And dude picked me up by my collar and threw me through the wooden fence. And I'll never forget just laying there. I still have a scar. I wish I could show you. Still have a scar in my left calf from it getting caught on the wood fence from going through it. I'll remember this for the rest of my life. I sat there and I'm like, I asked myself the worst questions. Why me? Why am I in this position? Why am I doing it this way? Why does this have to be my life? And as I lay there, like contemplating, I'll never forget, one more time, boom, boom, out like a light, gone. And I woke up from that a few seconds later and I left. And I left for about 2 weeks and I didn't come back home. He didn't care. But what I learned from that is that when you ask yourself bad questions, you're going to continue to get bad answers. And so I was in this cycle for like 2 more years of just nonstop push and pull. And I started to ask myself, not why me, and you, the classic why me versus why not me. And I said, man, I am such a good athlete. What is the difference between me laying here on the ground and me going and fulfilling my dreams and playing college sports? And it started with speaking the truth. And the truth was, I love you, Dad, but I don't like you. And as soon as I said that to myself, I moved out for a few months. I went to live with my brother, and my brother took care of me. And the rest was history, man. And I left Battle Creek and I never looked back. I love my hometown. I love my father. I've had since forgiven him for a lot of the things that he's done. I don't think you can move on from that without forgiveness. I don't think you can have prosperity if you don't thank the people in your life who also are a detriment to you, because he taught me so many great things. So between what he did do for me and what he didn't do for me, to answer your question, is what created a level of radical honesty in me that was the foundation of saying, if you're not good, then you're not good. What do you need to do to get better? And that's a process we continue to go through as you and I both, as CEOs and franchise owners.
Absolutely, man. That's a powerful story, man. I really appreciate you sharing that with me. You know, that's very deep, you know, and I know the listeners are going to appreciate that as well. Do you have a relationship with him anymore? Or?
Yeah. I mean, so like I said, he's a really good guy. You know, like when he's not drinking, which is rare, he's a really good guy. He wants to see my kids. But it's like, dude, I can't let you, because last time you tried and I, you know, I thought you might have changed a little bit. You come here to North Carolina and you see him and he wants to take him to like the pools and stuff around here. And, you know, but he has to stop at the gas station and get 5 shots of Fireball on the way and drink them with my girl in the car. And I'm like, no. And so Morgan, my wife and I, we're not going to remove the opportunity to see his grandchildren grow, because I think that is not my position, but it is my position to say I'm going to protect my kids at all costs. And if that means, you know, you want to drink and sit in the passenger seat, great, I'm going with you, right? You know, so things like that. And so, yeah, we see each other. He's down in Florida now. I wish him all the best. And, you know, hopefully at some point in his life, he can catch a vibe and change. But been wishing for that since I was about 8 years old. You know what I mean, brother? And, you know, on top of that, he's been devastated by relationships and physical violence. And, you know, my mom left when I was 13. I don't have a relationship with my mom anymore. And, you know, sometimes I sound like I'm begging for sympathy when I talk about my story. But what I realized is that there's so much empathy out there. It's not sympathy, it's empathy. There's so much empathy from people like you and people who can look at my shoes and be like, man, you know, you should talk about that, because that's a hard thing to go through. And although there are darker places to be, undesirable nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, most people would say, I'm sorry, but you know what? I believe there's reason why things happen not to you, they happen for you. And, you know, obviously you are a very special guy today. You do some marvelous things. And I'll tell you one thing, the best thing that's going to come out of it, I already know, is that you're going to be the most amazing father in the world. And I'm sure you already are. So, you know.
And now that's the North Star, right? And it's not, you use that word. I like that word because it illuminates your goal. That's the reason I like that word. And a lot of people use it, but I'm not sure they articulate it the right way. It illuminates the goal. It's, if you look up, it's always there and it's always bright. And you have a lot of things going on around it. And there's a lot of other illuminations around it, of things that you care about. You look up, you can see that, and you know what direction you're going. And now for me, that is my North Star in life, is very, very simple. I refuse to have my kids grow up in an environment that is even remotely close to the environment that I grew up in. It will be the exact opposite contrast. Yep. There's some worry that comes along that, like privileged kids and all that. And we'll talk about that as we go, because I think that's important to make sure that there's always a downside to a goal too. But yeah, man, I thank him now, because he showed me some things: confidence, relentlessness, pure blind confidence, I would say is a better word. Like, he's such an arrogant dude. Like, I was like, he was a McDonald's All-American basketball player, you know, full ride to Xavier, but couldn't pull it together, if you know what I mean. Yeah. And so now for me, it's like, man, I look at, you know, I'm looking at a picture on my wall right now of my family, a little collage, and I'm like, man, that's all I need. The love in 30 years that I'm going to be able to feel from my children looking at me and being like, dad, holy shit, dude, I did not even know. And you getting from that all the way to this, man, we appreciate you. We respect you. We love you. And they're going to say all the things to me that I wish I could say to my dad. And that's powerful.
It's very powerful, man. Very special. And I really appreciate you sharing that. It's very,
absolutely,
very.
Thanks for asking.
That's deep. That's deep, you know. So, you know, it's crazy. We have a lot of similarities, a lot, by the way. But this show's about you, not me. So, you know.
I'm getting you on next week, though. I'm going to dig into your mind a little bit.
So, you know, it's funny. I've interviewed pretty much the best in the world. Like, I have, like, the best of the best on my show. And, there's so many similarities between everybody. It's pretty crazy. And yeah. So the question I ask is, Do you think you would have been as successful if you didn't have a challenging life growing up? Because I'll tell you right now, 99% of the people, including myself, have had rough lives and they're very successful. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a good life and be successful, but what are your thoughts on that?
No chance. Not a chance in hell. And it's because of the maturity levels that you gain from the things that you have to deal with. You know, when your head's through a fence by the man that you love the most in your life when you're a young kid, it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like you learn lessons from that. And those are hard lessons, and they're lessons that take a long time to manifest themselves. You don't know when it's happening to you, why the hell it's happening to you, but you look back on it in retrospect and, you know, things are always harder in the present than they are in the future, than they seem to be in the future. So you look back on it, you're like, okay, that wasn't that hard, but look at, I learned all these lessons from it. And So I didn't get it. I've always been an intelligent and intuitive person. That's natural giftedness. Like, I really believe that, like, you know, I really believe that entrepreneurship has a level of DNA that's equivalent to like a professional athlete. You have a DNA inside of you for making money and impacting people the same way that LeBron James has DNA inside him to dunk a basketball and run and jump and all these things. And arguably more rare. Entrepreneurship is arguably more rare to be super, super successful is like the pinnacle, right? And so I think, you know, along the way, as you learn these lessons as you're young and as you're an intuitive and intelligent person, which is just a part of your DNA, you notice gaps maybe a little bit more than the next person would notice a gap. You notice you have a little bit more self-awareness. Like I said, honesty ties back into that. You start to be really honest with yourself and you're like, you know, if I'm going to go play college baseball, I better tool up because I don't have everything that I need to make it at that level. And so I wasn't getting that, even though I wanted it so bad from my dad and my uncles. All they wanted to do was smoke pot, do lines and watch the Lions. I mean, that's pretty much it. And you know, so that was that environment. So I got nothing out of them besides how to party. So I had the awareness to know that there was a gap. And so, like so many people have done, our age, right? People that are our age and who grew up on the internet. Like I found, it actually was a CD. I found a Tony Robbins CD when I was a young kid and they had like, you know, one of those old, music decks, and it had like all the different like digital decks in it and had like the 10 CD rotation player and all that. The old stuff. Well, I found a Tony Robbins CD in there, bro. And I remember, before I had bought a car, I told you I earned a little bit of money. Like I said, entrepreneurial DNA, I earned a little bit of money, buy myself a car. Before that, it was at 17 years old, I believe. Before that, I would ride my bike to school. I lived next to the junior high and then about 2 miles away from the high school. And so I would ride my bike and I know this will antiquate me a little bit, but I was at the tail end of the Sony Walkman era. And I would play the CD in it and, you know, the skip resistance and all those silly things that used to be a part of that. And I would ride my bike and I would listen to that every day. And I wrote about this in my book, Stop Starting Over. This was the moment in my life where I learned principles, where I learned how to navigate mentally, when I learned how important emotional health is. And some of those principles on that personal power CD that I used to listen to on repeat are literally here with me today. And I'm looking at a picture of myself on the wall, standing next to Tony and shaking his hand and meeting him. And, you know, not in any sense of like a fan meet and greet, but like, we really wanted to meet each other. I told him, I DM'd him like 30 times and I over and over and over and over the same message, like this story essentially. And, ended up getting, he gave me and Morgan some tickets to go out to, where the hell were we at? Oh, San Jose. We were out in San Jose and we got a chance to hook up for about 5 minutes, which was really, really cool. And just brought everything full circle, you know? It's like, dude, all I want to tell you, and I know so many people tell you this, I was like, all I want to tell you is you were my father. Like you were the person that I wished I had had in my life. And when I found you, I found myself. When I found you, I found perspective. When I found your tape, I found that there are more tools out there than I thought were available. And I also realized how fucked up my situation was, right? And yep. So that was really powerful in my life. And, you know, I think my philosophy is that follow two or three people that you want to be like more than anyone else in the world, and cut it off from there, you know, because yeah. if you follow too horizontal, then you start to look and sound and feel like other people, and it's disingenuous. And, you know, you've probably found yourself at some point regurgitating someone else's thought, and you're like, wait a second, hold on. Maybe not. I have before. I'm like, wait a second, hold on. That's not me. That's not honest. Like, my axiom is honesty. I'm sitting here fucking lying to myself by speaking someone else's language. You know, but a lot of times it was Tony early in my career, 23, 24, 25, until I realized how full of shit I really was. And then it's like, okay, well, you can take that, and but you can't step into the shirt, but you get to stand on the shoulders, right? And you get to take those things, and you know, there's nothing new under the sun. So you have to take things and you have to find a distinction that really helps people that no one else has been able to help people with before. And so I'm excited for the new, the next, you know, 5 years of my life, because I really feel so congruent with the original thought. It's just like comes through me. I don't need to think about it. You know, I write a lot. I write a lot. I'm a big fan of writing. If anybody out there is mentally or emotionally in a bad place, writing does one thing. It helps you put your thoughts on paper, and putting your thoughts on paper forces you to think. And when you think independently, you can put your thoughts on paper, and we put it on paper, it's permanent. So you're a lot more careful about what you put on paper. And then you can go through and you can say, okay, break it down line by line and say, am I full of shit or not? You know, and you start to really develop your own narrative that can help people. And fortunately, you know, my wife and I are plugged into this. Well, not fortunately, I would say thank you, Morgan and Devin, for plugging yourselves into a place in society where there was a void. And thank you and everyone around us too, obviously, but it starts and stops with us. And so, you know, we plugged ourselves into a niche just like you did. And, you know, you figure out the problems of those people in that niche by learning from them, by listening to them, by being a great communicator. And then you find the gaps that other people aren't able to fill. And then I started writing about them. And all of a sudden, before I knew it, I looked down and I had a book, and I was like, damn, this is pretty cool. And then we sold, you know, we sold 15,000 copies or so. And that was pretty cool. And then I'm like, wow, maybe I'm pretty good at this writing thing. And so I'm in the middle of another book right now. So I'm excited for that. I'll come out next year.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. That's really awesome. Well, let's get into obviously Burn Bootcamp, because, you know, it's doing big things. You just hit the Inc. 500 list, which is great. Why don't you tell a little people about it? Obviously, we're both in the fitness space, totally different models, but, you know, people, you know, I'm sure people already know about it, but why don't you touch on it a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. And I love what you do, by the way, with gym guys, because there's a market that we don't touch, which is why I'll text you and be like, hey, I got a dude's looking for personal training. I know the guy. You guys have a location here, right? So like, we're not competitors. I mean, in the sense of maybe, I would say this in a negative way, but an ignorant person might look at, you know, gym guys and Burn and be like competitors. And
it's not
like,
competitors at all. People say, yeah. So we have clients, most of our clients still go to the gym. They'll take a, you know, any type of, you know, aerobic class, spin class. There's, you know, I don't look at anyone in the fitness space as a competitor at all, you know?
Yeah. And neither do I think about it as conspiring to make this world a better place together. And that's, you know, I think we talked about that a little bit, like you and I share that, but it's rare. Not a lot of people in this industry share it, because if you look at the stats, it's like there's $100 billion from coast to coast in America in sales last year in the fitness industry. 68.5% of people are overweight.
Yep.
I mean, it's broken, bro. It's like broken. So like guys like you and I, we have to step up, and we have to, because you can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. No individual company is going to, or person or trainer or organization or nonprofit is going to be able to do it alone. It's got to be a unified front to say, you know, this whole idea of this 80% fitness, 20% nutrition shit is broken, because that's not what Vilfredo Pareto said. He didn't say that. What he said was 80% of the effect, or 80% of the results are going to come from 2% of the strategy. And so, you know, I think we need to educate people. And what that really means in the fitness industry is that 80% of the time you should be focused on your nutrition, your fitness, your recovery, and you should be all in for that 80% of that time, like all in. Everything in your life should be organized around your own personal health, you know? And then part of personal health too is socialization. Part of it is, you know, being able for you and I to sit down on a Friday night to the extent that you want to have a beer on a Friday, to sit down and have a few beers and have a conversation and maybe eat some wings and not feel bad about it. And it's like, we get into this place where it's like, you have to do it all the time and you have to be so regimented and it's 80% fitness and or 80% nutrition and 20% fitness. No. It's 80% of everything. And then 20% of the time you get to step back and you get to look at life and you get to enjoy it and you get to socialize. Now, that's generally speaking. I'm more like 95-5, right? Like I might take 6 hours in a week where I, you know, have a beer with you and have some wings and stuff, but I want to get back on it because I'm not average and I'm not here to be average, you know? So Burn is quintessentially trying to solve that problem, you know? And I think that in some regard, you guys are too. And, it becomes a learning curve that exists in society where you and I have to go out and we have to educate people. That means you have to be a great marketer. That means you have to be a great entrepreneur if you want to affect change. And so it's like, start with the problem. What's the solution? And then to affect real change, you know, being an entrepreneur and having things in your control and being a good marketer is very, very important to that. And making money doing it, because you can't impact people if your doors are closed, or you can't impact people if your franchisees aren't making money and things like that. So, you know, Burn, 45-minute workout, you know, on the surface level, right? Like nothing under the hood. I kind of gave all the under the hood stuff. It's a 45-minute workout. We're focused on our families and our community, empowering our families through women. We're very female oriented. We have Child Watch for our moms. I'm drinking one of our smoothies from our smoothie bar right now called Burn Nutrition. It's our proprietary supplement line, and we're innovating left and right. It's really, really doing well. We have four protein flavors, two plant-based and two whey-based, and then two pre-workout powders called Ignite, two different flavors coming out with a bar next year. So that's rolling. And we have a great retail business. I'm an athlete, right? And so I bring a lot of that into this business. Like from a leadership standpoint, I think it's probably obvious, but from how that leadership creates the team that creates the fans, right? And so our retail business is a byproduct of that. It's like everyone in our organization buys Burn stuff. Like we call it Burn gear, and we have, it's very niche too. So there's not a lot of gentleman stuff. There's a lot of female stuff. So that's great. And, you know, as we build out, you know, we started in around the same time you guys did. We started franchising in 2015. We now have, there's a whole cool story to that if you ever want to get into that. But now we have 267 doors open. We'll open 269 this weekend. We have 424 locations in the United States alone awarded. And we by 2025, we hope to have 800 units. Oh, hope is a bad strategy. Honesty, people, right? I caught myself. Honesty. No. We will have 800 locations open in the States when we close books in 2026 for 2025. And, you know, whole plans for a really large impact and kind of beginning to cultivate some of the more macro unified front desires that this brand has and partnering with other big brands to deliver messages that are paradigm shifting. So like, if you want to shift the paradigm, you got to get on mass media. To get on mass media, you got a shit ton of money to do that really, really well. It's got to be continued. You can't just do it once. You got to do it over and over and over and over. And so my goal here shortly is to, you know, once Gym Guys is 5,000 units worldwide and Burn is 5,001, you know, I'm a competitor. You know, we'll partner together. We'll make some real change happen, man.
Love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. So something I always talk about is, you know, people always ask what it takes to, like, you know, like what's the trait? Like what's the one trait that it really takes to be super, super successful? And someone told me this a long time ago, and it's very true. And I would have developed this on my own without even having that person tell me this, but the person who can endure the most pain for the longest period of time is the one who will be the most successful. So I don't even need to ask you the question because I know the answer. You've been through tons of pain. I already know that because so have I. And I still go through pain on a daily basis. But, you know, pain equals growth. So maybe you could share, like, you know, a very painful story, growing issues, you know, because – again, in the world, in the word impossible, which I teach my oldest all the time, It's not a real word, because the actual word is possible, and any single thing is possible. So talk about like a crazy, crazy, painful story, experience you've had over the years growing the business.
Wow. Oh, man. I've got so many failures, bro. It's like, how can you pick from the top one, the most impactful one? I'm going to put myself in the position to take all the responsibility for this, because everything that in my organization is my fault, except for when we're successful. That is participation. I have participation in that success. I have leadership in that success. And so the thing that pops out to me the most is when we started Burn Nutrition. When we started Burn Nutrition, I had no idea what I was doing. Right? Like, shoot first, ask questions last. That's how an entrepreneur should be rolling, in my opinion, especially if you have no education like I did. It's like, use the lack of education to not install fear in front of you that slows down your progress. And so I reached out. I had no formal like RFP process or no formal processes. It's me and four people sitting around a table at the upstairs of my gym in a little, 500 square foot spot. And so we started Burn Nutrition, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to white label, because I think that this brand really has, I'm a very long-term mindset. Morgan and I still own 100% of our company. We're not going anywhere. We're young. We're 32. It's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not giving up equity. So I'm like, all right, we're going to go fast, because we're going to figure it out anyway, as we roll over these problems. Well, man, one of the problems was pretty tough. And so we were looking out for manufacturers, and I didn't realize how vulnerable you'd be only having one manufacturer. And so I only had one manufacturer for Burn Nutrition. And so we come out with like the first three runs, and they were great. And they were very well received. It tasted delicious, all proprietary blend, nothing like, we didn't create any, new science or anything, but it was all proprietary. We put it together. We sourced the ingredients. And, what happened was our fourth run, we deploy it. It goes out to all the gyms, and we start getting messages like 2 days later with pictures. And these pictures, all right, which, by the way, people, it's not like this anymore, just so you know. these pictures were open canisters of our protein with metal shavings in them. They had, when you screw, bro, when you screw something into like a screw into metal.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. You get that little spiral metal shaving. It was like 10% filled with all of them. 10% filled with these metal shavings.
Oh my God.
And so I had at this time, $250,000 was a lot of money for me. And so I had spent $250,000 on the product run. And then I'd also put another $20,000 deposit down to lock my pricing in. Cause if you know anything about supplements, it's very volatile, because you have to source the raw ingredients and seasonality. And there's all types of reasons for that, distribution, logistics. And so what ended up happening was we had to recall the whole thing, right? So, we had to recall it. We bought it back. Stupid. We bought it back, but not stupid, because it said a lot about who we are to our franchise partners. We're not going to put you out there arm a stake and make it yours. So we bought it back. Probably could have bought it back in a more intelligent way. I would say that was the stupid part, but these metal shavings pissed people off, as you can imagine. And there was one gentleman that drank it and didn't realize that the metal shavings were in it, and he got sick.
Oh my God.
And that was not good. It was not good. And so, although he's fine, and he was fine, and it was just a minor thing, some little internal things from the metal shavings. But dude, it was scary for me, because it's like, now you're really seriously harming someone, and you're seriously liable now. And so I call my manufacturer, by the way, I have one. And so I call him, no answer, call him, no answer, call him, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer, no answer. NutriSport Pharmaceuticals, by the way, if anybody, stay away from them. They wouldn't answer me. Finally, I got on the phone with the CEO, and he basically told me to kick rocks. And so I was out 250 grand. the order, the buyback, the $20,000 deposit he would not give me back. And now I had sick people. I had detriment to the brand. It was just a, it was a,
what did he, why was there metal shavings in there? Did he even give you an explanation?
No, bro. No.
Oh my God.
He was the most, I won't say his name, but he was the most insensitive person I've probably ever met. The most selfish person I'd probably ever met. He's basically like, you bought it. You bought it. You get it from anywhere else? You just get it from me? Yeah, you bought it. Yeah, you're not getting your money back. That's not how we run our business model. He goes, you have the liability. I'm like, okay. And by the way, I'm a 25-year-old kid at this point, right? You know, maybe just turning 26 or so. But it was early in the career when we started this. And
oh my God. You know, not shocking to me. Some people are probably like, oh my God, but this is what business is about. Now, the average person probably would have had a panic attack, you know, collapsed, would have moved forward, probably would have just threw the towel in. And, you know, obviously you continue to keep, you know, moving forward, fix the problem. Now, obviously everything's fixed. I'm sure everything's smooth. You learn from it. You know, failing is a very good thing. And people should look at failures as wins, actually, because they're lessons and you're going to learn from it. The mistake where people go wrong is if they actually fail and make a mistake, and they do it again because they're not paying attention enough, or they're just they're careless with it. That's where you go wrong, and that's where you lose. But obviously, you fixed it. And how is it running today? I'm sure it's running fantastic.
Oh yeah, man, it's great today. And this was like a little, you know, looking back, we mentioned that things are always harder in the moment than they are in retrospect than they seem. Yep. And so it was a little bump in the road, and it didn't make a ton of noise because we did the right thing. Obviously, you know, when you feel the pressure of all that, when you're the top of any organization, you know, I think Gary, who says that, he says you deal with the dog shit or something. Like, he's like, I don't know, somebody out there is like, when you're at the top of the organization, you eat all the dirt. I think someone says, and that's true. You eat all the dirt. It's like you get the rewards, but you eat the dirt. And, now it's going great. We have thorough quality assurance process in place. We are, multi-sourced vendors. All of our ingredients are third-party tested. We have all the certifications, you know, grass-fed and finished whey protein, really good stuff, you know, pea protein, rice blend on the plant side. And it's really has a lot of integrity. It aligns with Morgan and I and our values. And, you know, you could make it cheaper and you could make more margin if you didn't, you know, go the organic route. But at the end of the day, you know, we feel that a supplement should be as clean as possible when it's the secondary choice to getting, you know, your protein or your nutrients or your macros or your micros in. And so now it's really good. It's really good. Thanks for asking. We're expanding like crazy. We're going to come out with a bar. Our gyms love it. Our clients love it. Raving fans. And we're even getting other franchise models asking us if we're willing to white label our products now. Which I'm still contemplating. I don't know.
Got it. So how did you go from, you know, that one vendor to finding a new vendor? What was that research like? I'm sure you were very different in that approach, because I think that's important for the people to hear.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what I'm doing still. I have hired people around me that have that are so bright, so intelligent, but they fit the culture. And they fit the attitude and they fit the belief. And Kim Hunter is our VP of retail. And I'll tell you what, man, she's a rock star. We're about to have our first $1 million month in retail alone. And that's just the apparel side of it, not even the nutrition side of it. She's innovated like crazy. She's got our business so stable, and I could not take a single ounce of credit for it. What I can take some credit for is the economics around it, right? And making sure that we have a solid long-term economic model to stand on that's going to really help our franchise partners make more money. And in franchising, you know, looking through that franchise partner, we call them franchise partners. Some people say franchisees or Zs. We call them FPs. You know, looking through that lens in this business is very important. You can, if you're a franchisor and you're a successful one, I already know that you're the least selfish person in the room. So now Kim is crushing it. She's crushing it. We're doing great. We got e-commerce side rolled out as well as the in-gym wholesale model. I'm starting to diversify, like I said. And you know, if we could do it over again, probably wouldn't take metal shavings in it, but I wouldn't trade the lesson. You know what I mean? That's because I would never want to put people at harm, but I wouldn't trade the lesson for anything, because it made me realize that I have no idea what I'm doing in the supplement business. So I need to find somebody that does. And I need to help them become a better leader. And that's my job for her, is say, hey, you're the knowledge. You're the knowledge worker here. Okay. I'm going to teach you how to be a better leader. I'm going to teach you how to get more out of your team. I'm going to teach you how to innovate. I'm going to teach you how to negotiate. And you're going to teach me some of those things too. But one thing I can't teach you is how to merchandise products on a shelf. No idea.
Great. Great. As I always say, never focus on your weaknesses. Delegate your weaknesses and focus on your strengths.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe in that more. Couldn't believe in it more.
Very, very true.
We stopped talking about weaknesses at our second year in business in our reviews. We do two reviews a year. We just crossed it off. We said we want to be aware of what you're weak at. And then I want you to try to make that weaker by strengthening your strengths. And, you know, I think most people know that. Are you really doing it is what I would question. Are you really doing it? Are you walking and talking and behaving all congruently at the same time?
Yep. Very, very true. Very true. Well, listen, last question I like to always ask. If you were conducting this interview, what question would you have asked?
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
Okay. International franchising. And we'll dive into this later, but international franchising is something that I'm not very familiar with thus far. I've had the iFranchise Group in to consult with me. I got some baseline knowledge, but what would be the top three things that I would need to know about international franchising to be successful like you are?
The first thing you need to know is you need to make sure you find the right partner. That's very, very, very important. And number two is making sure every single one of your systems is completely scalable so you can control and manage and oversee everything. And the last thing is make sure your legal team on the international side is very, 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 very good. And we could take this offline and I have no problem helping you with that. And I could, you know, we're about to enter into two more countries and I could explain how to do it and give you some good insight. But once it does start kicking off, it's fantastic. You know, I'm sure you see my stuff where we have literally blown up in the United Kingdom. It's out of control. Like it's out of control how fast we've taken off there. I think we're already up to like 26 clients. We literally just launched like 2-3 weeks ago.
Dude, that's awesome. Congratulations. And I know how savvy you have to be to navigate those waters because I've heard the horror stories. I mean, you even know about maybe the target, a multi-unit retail, not franchising, but Target going into Canada. It's like, that's the quintessential place here in the States. And they go into Canada, they do it wrong. And no one even takes them serious. They actually shut down.
Canada is the hardest. Canada is very, very hard. The United Kingdom was not as hard. Canada is very, very difficult. I just surround myself with the right people. I learn and I can help you with that. That's no worries.
Yeah. I'd love to dive into that more. That'd be great.
Yeah. So, but back to my question, what is the question you would have asked?
I would have asked me.
This one always throws people off.
Yeah, no, I got a good one. How do you and your wife do it? With your relationship and she's right next to me right now, literally podcasting with Burnout. I think it's the Burnout to Blow Up podcast, like people that were kind of burnout with their jobs or their careers and then they took the leap. And then, so she's over here doing it right now. And the way that we do that is we have different characters. Okay. I'm Devin, which is the friend, right? I'm the CEO, which is the boss. And the leader. I like leader better. I am daddy, which is daddy. And I'm also lover when that needs to be my character. I'm also hubby.
So funny you say this. You know, so many similarities. So I consider myself a video game. I don't play video games, but when I was a kid, I played video games and, you know, you can select the different characters. And literally in my head, I play this game with myself all the time because, you know, my wife and I are total opposites. But when I come home, I rarely, rarely even bring up the business. There's just so many layers, so much going on. She's not going to solve my problems or issues or challenges, whatever it may be. And there's really no need to talk about it. Back in the day, it was very different, but I've learned over the years how to like control that. But I play like this alter ego with myself where I have these characters. And it's like pretty much a similar thing you just said. And that's what I do. And I also look at entrepreneurship as a game too.
Yeah, for sure.
That's very funny. But listen, this was great. People are going to get a lot of value out of this. But where can people find you? Where can they get your book? What if they want to get some of your nutrition? Just share that with everybody, please.
Yeah, man, for sure. So you have burnbootcamp.com. If you want to go check out any of the nutrition stuff or any of the gyms, they're all, you can find everything you need from the Burn Bootcamp offering there.
Great.
Devin Klein, anywhere on the internet, Instagram, YouTube. One thing that's pretty cool, and I'd love, do you train at all? Like, do you ever you started obviously that way, but like, do you still go in and like train your trainers and train them how to train people ever?
Not anymore.
So for me, that's something, dude, it's in my heart. Like, I love that. That is something that I will probably not stop doing in my youth while I still have it, because it brings me back to baseball. It brings me back to the thing that made me successful in the first place. And so, every Tuesday, for 1 hour, I train, it's called Burn Bootcamp on Demand. And we go live. Now it's a closed platform, but we go live one time a week on a Tuesday. And so anybody out there who wants to get their workout on right now, you can do it anywhere in the world. It's body weight. We have equipment, but there's a body weight station so people can follow along. And it's been really, really great. Over COVID 19 era, we've gotten almost 2.5 million workouts done, which is fantastic. And we're very proud of that. And I would love for people just to come and feel the energy, feel the vibe, check it out. Go to my Instagram if you want to get all the down low on that.
That's great. That's great. Well, listen, Devin, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And, I know this is definitely going to be a very, very popular episode. So thank you again.
Dude, and I'm bringing you on the Devin Klein Show. I'm bringing you on. We're going to unpack all types of things. Thank you for pitching and catching with me, brother. It's been a real pleasure to get to know you over the last, few months here, as we've kind of spaced out some pretty great communication. And, anything I can ever do for you, like I said offline, I'm here, man. And I really mean that from the bottom of my heart.
I appreciate it, man. All right. Well, as you know, I'm your host, Josh York. Until next time, remember, fuel your drive.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast, Fuel Your Drive. Please be sure to subscribe and leave a review. I'd really appreciate it. And also, make sure you follow Gym Guys on Instagram. And, of course, myself, Josh York GG. We're going to change the world. And we want to help you along the journey.